Good afternoon. Welcome to Line One, your health connection on KSK Anchorage. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. Conservative estimates are that 25 to 30% of kids experience bullying during middle school and high school, and up to half of all kids are involved with bullying as either a witness, perpetrator, or as a target. The impacts of bullying can range from depression, anxiety, physical illness, and social isolation to low self-worth, self-harm, and suicidal ideation or attempts. These mental, physical, and emotional problems can last well beyond adolescence and can result in a lifetime of mental health problems, illness, and relationship difficulties. The real tragedy about bullying is that it is a harm done to young people by other young people who just do not realize the magnitude of the wounds they inflict. Joining me to discuss the impacts of bullying and what is being done in our community to combat and prevent this devastating problem are the director of the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, Lindsay Hyduk, or Hyduk, I guess is the correct pronunciation, Marcia Howell from the Alaska Injury Prevention Center, and high school freshman Madison Dooley. Welcome to the show, ladies. I appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, I need to remind listeners that you can reach us locally by calling 550-8433, or if you're outside of Anchorage, you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way you can participate is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. If you've never emailed us before, you got to spell out line1, L-I-N-E-O-N-E. @alaskapublic.org. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic, please give us a call or email early in the show so that we have a chance to get your questions on the air. Oftentimes, people will want to call in at like 5 till and then it's too late to get you on. So be sure to email or call in early. Your participation always enlightens and helps the show be a better show. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with a little bit of background information on each of you. I guess we can start with Lindsay. Go ahead and tell us what you've been doing, what you're doing now, and why you're involved with this bullying prevention project.
Sure. So for about the last year, I've been the director of the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, and we're actually a program of the Alaska Injury Prevention Center. So I work with Marcia day-to-day on this issue and a few others. The Anchorage Youth Development Coalition is a coalition of organizations that serve youth throughout Anchorage. So a lot of after-school programs. We represent drop-in centers, a huge range of local organizations. And we have come together to promote positive youth development. So really taking a strength-based approach to addressing some of the most challenging issues our youth face. And for the past few years, our coalition came together with a few others, the Spirit of Youth Coalition and the Healthy Voices, Healthy Choices Coalition. They're all based here in Anchorage. And we worked to identify what issue was impacting mental health for youth in our community, and did a pretty extensive community assessment and looked at a number of issues, focus groups data, and actually found that bullying and the consequences of bullying really impact mental health issues for youth and adults in the long term. So it is an issue that we have addressed and have been coming together as a coalition over the last few years to work on with a community-wide perspective. So I'll stop there, and I'm sure I'll talk more about what we're up to.
Okay, now Marcia, Marcia Howell, you are with the Alaska Injury Prevention Center, and you're standing in today for Karen. Is it Zeman, who was going to be a guest, and she's on the webpage, but she got caught with a pesky case of bronchitis and doesn't have a voice apparently, or has a bad cough. So, appreciate you standing in and tell us a little bit about what you're doing with bullying and over at the Alaska Injury Prevention Center.
Sure. Marcia Howell, and I've been at the Alaska Injury Prevention Center for about 17 years, the executive director there for probably 10 years. And while it may not intuitively seem to be a logical connection, injury prevention and bullying, our big picture aspirations are to, one, prevent injuries, but also to promote well-being and to improve safety in Anchorage as well as the state of Alaska. And for that, over the process, like Lindsay said, of the last few years of really looking at what components of life for youth, including young adults, would be most effective if they were changed to improve mental health and well-being, and bullying rose to the top of that. So we've been involved on the data collection, data analysis side, and just as active partners. And we miss Karen. We're sorry she's not here, but we hope we'll carry on for her.
All right, thanks. And I'm always excited when I get to have young people on the show, because they add some wisdom and some perspective that that we don't get to have when it's a bunch of adults talking about teenage issues. So, Madison, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and participate today. Can you give us a little bit of why you're doing this and what you're about here?
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here today. I became involved in bullying awareness and prevention through Youth Vote. I've been a member for a little over a year, and we, a few months ago, started brainstorming with our artist and designer, John Tu, for a poster idea that we had, and we're releasing posters later this year, kind of at the beginning of the school year, spreading awareness and hopefully getting people involved in preventing bullying.
That's great, and it's really helpful, I think, to have young people's participation on these cooperative efforts, because you guys bring, as I said, a different perspective on this, and we can talk about it. But it's been a few years since I was a teenager, so I kind of forget what it feels like. So thanks for joining us. Okay, we were gonna start off with a definition, but and I said at the beginning that before the show started that we don't know how many calls we're going to get, but we've already got some calls lighting up, so we'll go ahead and go to our first caller. We have William. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. I'm 71 years old, and my life experience, and it started really, really early with me. I had 13 brothers and sisters, and we were poor, so consequently we were, you know, subject to everybody's victimization. But I truly believe in watching children and watching, if you watch apes, they do the same thing. Most animals have a bullying technique in their survival. They dominate each other, and I think humans are genetically predisposed to do this. I've seen it in the workplace. I've had bullying all my career. I've had my life threatened, and it's just an ongoing situation that it isn't teenagers, it isn't just kids. Just because they're 20 or 25 or 40 doesn't mean that they're not still the same mentality. And I've just finally resigned myself to that's just the way humans are, that's the way they're going to behave, and drugs and alcohol seem to amplify it. And peer support amplifies it. So if you're going to get by with it, and I think parents are responsible for recognizing this and stopping it in their children when they're 2 and 3 years old.
All right, William, those are really good points, and I appreciate the call. He is correct, and I've been thinking about another bullying program for bullying in the workforce, because it is not an exclusive. William brings up a really good point. It's not exclusive to teenagers, and there does seem to be some sort of, genetic ingrained, pecking order sort of setting up a hierarchy, if you will. So, Marcia, do you want to address that call?
First of all, yeah, William, I agree that it's not, we think of it in terms of youth, but it's not necessarily, and bullying in the workplace is also an important issue. A lot of it's things, like you said, that we start behaving as small children, and if the behaviors are accepted at that point, it becomes much harder to prevent them later. I guess I would respectfully disagree that it has to be or is destined to be like this. I do think that we can take on some initiatives and some individual initiative to minimize both expressions of bullying as well as the impacts of them on folks, which is some of the things that we'll be talking about.
Absolutely. We will get into some of the impacts and the causes and where bullying comes from and how we can parent in ways that help to prevent our children from becoming bullies. So can we just, I guess we should start. I do have another caller, if Leo will hold on just a moment. I do want to define bullying for the purpose of today's conversation before we get too deep into it. What is bullying? Lindsay, can you take that one for us?
Yeah. So oftentimes when we talk about bullying, we all have our own individual experiences with it. So have our own beliefs about what it is. And we went into a very extensive process of bringing organizations together that serve youth to really come to a place of defining this, and used a lot of resources from the Center for Disease Control, the Department of Education. And so this definition that we're using is what we're basing our projects off of, but we recognize each of the words in it has its own challenges. So we define bullying as unwanted aggressive behavior among peers that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. The behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time. So that is our basic definition, so that we could learn, so that we could craft programs to identify and address it. And each of those components is really critical. One thing to highlight is that perceived power imbalance. It doesn't necessarily have to be a real power imbalance, but some of the issues, you know, people can be bullied about are just part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And they just the people involved in it have to have the beliefs that there is a power imbalance and that someone is getting something out of the experience based on that. And even the repeated behavior or has the potential to be repeated is another key to that, because conflict is a normal part of growing up. It's a normal part of our lives, and we can address conflict. Bullying is something that can continuously happen. It may not be the same behavior that's being repeated, but the same dynamics of power and dominance, like William had suggested. If those are played out, they are all part of that bullying definition.
So power, it sounds like, is an important component in making other people feel small.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of what I talk about. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Leo, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I'm in my mid to late 20s, and I was bullied a lot as a kid. I was pretty awkward, small child with a small voice, and it's taken the past few years to really grow out of that, but it can be dangerous to kids and hazardous to their health and mental health especially. And I mean, it's sad because a lot of kids isolate themselves. I especially isolated myself. So I mean, it's just something that we all got to watch out for. We all got to help for.
Mm-hmm. Leo, I have a follow-up question for you. What kind of advice did you get from the adults, or did you tell anybody? How did you try to handle that when you were getting bullied?
I white-knuckled it. I didn't involve adults, because who wants to hear a kid talk? And most of my help I got from better peers who were older and, you know, a few years older, a few years wiser, and just knew how to handle these types of situations.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, and I think that's an important thing for people to hear from Leo, is that it's something you do not want to deal with alone, and we'll get into more later on. But thank you, Leo, for the call. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, so Marcia, you touched on this. How is bullying different from normal, what we call in quotes, teasing or conflict was the word that I think Lindsay used. How is that? How is it different? Bullying different from the normal teasing or picking or playground kind of shenanigans that happen every day in school?
So, excuse me. Teasing we think of as something, as a behavior where kids are kind of picking on each other, but it's not one who has more power onto somebody else. It goes back and forth. You can hear banter of teasing, joking back and forth. And it's not intended for power gain. One of the things we think about bullying in that's different is there really is an intention to do what somebody's doing, not necessarily to hurt somebody, but to gain power, whether it's social power, popularity. And it's not even about likability. It's really the rising up above in the social hierarchy.
All right. Madison, what do you have a perspective on a teenager's perspective? You're a teen now, right? You're entering your freshman year of high school. Do you have a perspective on the difference between teasing and bullying? I mean, when does it cross the line?
I feel like it crosses the line when it happens more than once, or it's purposefully intended to harm or make you feel better about yourself because, well, like, I'm better than them because of this, then you have a power imbalance and it's repeated and it's intended to cause harm. When it's like that, you really need to know that you can talk to an adult or talk to your parents. One of the big issues that people have with going to their parents or to an adult is people are like, the adults are saying things like, oh, well, you know, it's just words. Words truly do hurt, and it can cause so much more harm than just they called me names. It can really hurt your self-esteem, and if people keep saying these things to you, you'll eventually believe them, and lots of people don't realize that, so they're just like, oh, just keep going. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're saying it's really easy for adults to say, it's just words, just ignore it. Just walk away. And again, we'll get into more of how it should be handled. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Okay. So what is the scope of the bullying problem? I mean, how big of a problem is this in our community? Because as a therapist, I'm, you know, working with a lot of teenagers, probably half my caseload is teenagers. And I'm getting it every day. I'm hearing lots of stuff about bullying and power and just some mean, hurtful stuff. So how big of a problem, how concerned should we be as parents? Because I don't think we really, as adults, really get to know, you know, you get your kids' perspective, but we don't really know how big of a problem it is. So what are we dealing with here, Lindsay?
So it is challenging to fully know, because we depend a lot on youth to maybe self-report what is happening. And again, we will recognize that bullying happens among adults. There aren't very many surveys out there that really do ask adults. But when we looked at data here in Anchorage through the schools, there's a youth risk behavior survey, and we found about 20% of youth in Anchorage self-reported that they experience bullying. So that's 1 in 5 young people in our community experience bullying. And it's similar with cyberbullying as well. It's just under that 1 in 5 mark. And so it is prevalent. If you think of 5 of your children's friends or 5 of your friends, one of those people is experiencing bullying. We did identify it as impacting mental health for young adults, especially. Bullying doesn't go away when you turn 18, and it definitely follows you. You can see it in workplaces easily, but it's on the spectrum of interpersonal violence. So it happens among family, it happens in your relationships with your friends. And it's, again, part of that normalizing, oh, bullying just happens and we deal with it and it's just words. But we recognize that there is a lot of research and data that links bullying to a lot of mental health impacts in our community.
And this is Marcia. I would add on to that we say it's just words, but bullying behaviors can be words. They can also be social isolation, where you intentionally keep somebody out of a social group. It can be stealing somebody's lunch or lunch money. It can be hiding it can be physical assault on somebody also. So there's a broad spectrum of the kinds of things that are happening. And another piece of why we should be concerned is it's not only the person who is being bullied that has long-term consequences. The person who engages in the behavior of bullying has consequences. And if we think about 50% of youth either engaged in bullying, were bullied, or witnessed bullying, the witnesses, the bystanders also have consequences, especially if they're not able to stand up for a friend of theirs. They there are long-term consequences for that also in self-esteem and self-efficacy.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. I've worked with many adults who feel really badly about being bullies when they were younger and the damage they cause, and they, you know, don't know how to, you know, reconcile that in their own minds that they were hurtful. And, you know, a lot of times, hopefully, I mean, some bullies just last a lifetime, right? And we all know those people, you know, the parents who are screaming at other parents and berating teenage referees on the soccer field, or that stuff is bullying because it is a power differential. But yeah, it has consequences for people who are watching, people who are the targets of bullying, and we're trying to stay away from the word victim, but targets of bullying as much as possible. I mean, that has an impact on everybody. If you're just tuning into the program, joining me today to discuss the impacts of bullying and what efforts are being taken to prevent bullying in our community are the director of the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, Lindsay Hyduk, Marsha Howell from the Alaska Injury Prevention Center, and Anchorage High School freshman Madison Dooley. If you have a question for our guests or an experience you'd like to share about our topic today, please don't hesitate to call in or email. As I said earlier, your participation always enriches our show. You can reach us in three ways. Our local phone number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or call us toll-free anywhere in Alaska or outside of Alaska, if you happen to be listening, at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. We have quite a few phone calls coming in, so we're going to go back to the phones right now, and we will take Charlie. You are on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my background, by the way, thanks for doing the show. It's very important. My background, I was a teacher for 20 years, and now I'm a nurse. And while I want to be very careful to say it's not victim blaming, I have seen that there are people who have behaviors that lead to bullying. So it's never okay to bully. I'm not saying that that is all right. But I think part of any prevention program is in education for the recipients or the targets about how not to be bullied, as well as making it not okay for the bullies to do what they do. And I guess that's my point. I'm just curious what you think about that.
All right, Charlie, I appreciate that. That's a complex question, and I think one that's certainly worth asking. Which one of you ladies would like to tackle that first?
I can give a start, and then hopefully someone else will tag team with me, because it is a very complex, but that's an important point to make. One of the things that comes to the top of my mind is that in a community, whether it's within your household, within a school, within any place where you're around other people, the greater degree to which there's gender equity, that there's acceptance and tolerance of people for not only gender differences, racial, ethnic differences, and just anything that's different about people, the greater the tolerance, the lower the degree of bullying. So part of it is, and this doesn't directly answer your question, but we each as individuals help create a space that's safe for people through tolerance of differences is an important component of it.
Mm-hmm. And I would add, this is Lindsay, I would add that many of the traits or characteristics that targets usually have that they're bullied on are innate characteristics of who they are. So it is who they identify as, either through sexual orientation or just someone's perception of their sexual orientation. It could also be ethnicity and even weight, or if you're obese. And we have to recognize that some of those, you know, a person's weight, it could be because they're coping with some other traumas. So it isn't just, oh, you're a big person, so you deserve to be bullied. We really have to recognize that having a space in a community that is more accepting of people would reduce the behaviors. And I'd say that we have to take it on and not place that on anyone who could be a target, but we have to take that on as bystanders or as somebody who may engage in this behavior, and recognize that it's up to us to change the community. It isn't up to a target to change who they are as a person.
I don't think anyone really deserves to be bullied. You can disagree with people on whatever, but you still need to love them and respect them, even if you disagree with their choices.
Yeah, I think important points. I appreciate the call, Charlie. It's a good question, and it makes people think. I guess my response to that is that many of the things, as Lindsay was saying, that make people targets for bullies, for those who feel like they need to make other people feel small, are things that people cannot change. It could be your name. It could be, you know, I mean, everybody knows that rhyme. My name is Prentice Pemberton. I had a friend named Benny Morton, and the joke was PP and BM, right? It was, you know, that was really funny to a lot of people. And, you know, it was hurtful, but fortunately I had, you know, other things going for me that didn't make me a target, right? And I was able to stand up for myself. But and obesity is often something that kids, it happens because they come from difficult homes, or, you know, that maybe there's trauma going on, or maybe there's a medical problem, a thyroid problem or something. And, you know, so it could be any difference seems to, and that's not something that is really very controllable. Now, if you're a really annoying kid who is like just out there all the time trying to make everybody upset, then maybe that's something that could be addressed. And I've had a couple of those kids. I'm like, well, what are you doing that is inviting this? And it's like, well, I'm targeting bullies, right? They're bullying them back. And so I don't know. There are some things, but that's a really delicate thing to, yeah, go ahead, Lindsay.
Yeah, and one more thing that comes to mind is many people who experience bullying are also they have a disability. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be something that is not changeable. And that is something that puts them on the different side of youth or adults, and they are doing the best they can. And they might not be able to read the social situation. So sometimes you will find people who have better social and emotional skills. They're better developed. They understand kind of what's happening in the social side. They can identify someone who doesn't fit the norms, and they may have a disability, so then they could become the target. And there's nothing you can do there.
No, kids with Asperger's, mm-hmm. autism, yeah, any sort of learning disability. Mm-hmm. Kids that get pulled out for, you know, the short bus is a famous one that kids are using all the time, and that's not within a young person's control. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Kimberly. You're on line one. Go ahead. Kimberly is gone. She had a presidential rant, which maybe she'll call back. But that brings up a really interesting question, because we do, in my opinion, have a president who engages in bullying behavior and targets people based on how they look or how they, you know, what they stand for. And it's created an environment and a culture which seems to promote a bit of bullying, in my opinion. So I'll do the presidential rant for Kimberly. But yeah, I think training or changing the conversation for tolerance and acceptance and appreciation of people's differences is really important. Let's go to Mike. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. You know, at the root, this is about unhealthy relating, and it's another way to say it, it's a real low level of relating and relationship skills. Mm-hmm. And there's a program in the Anchorage School District called Social Emotional Learning.
Yes.
I think it's still a pilot program, but, you know, the way I think of it is, you know, traditionally we have reading, writing, arithmetic, but I really think there needs to be 4 hours, because I think relationships are just as important as reading, writing, arithmetic. And right now, we really don't provide basic training for how to do relationships. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we teach the ABCs and the you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, how to count, but we don't even teach, you know, what is a feeling and what do you do when you're having one. So anyway, just for one example, but I was just wondering if you knew about specific things that the social-emotional learning pilot program is doing, and if this program is actually growing into other schools.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the phone call. Lindsay, it looked like you had you're nodding over there, so it looks like you have a response to that.
Yeah, thank you for that point, Mike. Social-emotional learning is something that we've identified through our coalition, the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, to really address in the strength-based approach. So recognizing that if we are improving the relationships youth experience, the environments they're experiencing them in, and the experiences themselves, we're able to create a space for youth to be who they are, free from the threats of bullying, but also it allows them to meet their full potential and really thrive. So a lot of the programs that our coalition supports are to take that approach. And we have a number of projects that we're working on with youth-serving organizations, and a lot of it you can find mirrored in the school district. The school district here has been working on social and emotional learning for years, and they're really ahead of other states because they identified early on that this is an important part of growing up. And if we're not teaching social and emotional learning, we're not really teaching youth who to be who they are and to be good people. So one of the there are many programs that we're working on as part of this project, but one is really looking at youth mattering. So in doing our community-wide assessment to find what kind of mental health issues are impacting youth, we also wanted to find what correlates and helps reduce some of those long-term impacts. And if youth feel like they matter to their community, they suffer the experience, the consequences of bullying less. So we really went on a long effort to find out what that meant. So what does a young person think of when they fill out a survey that says, I matter to my community? Yes, no, maybe. And we found that we heard from youth that safety is really important to them, not just physical safety, that they're safe in their community or their neighborhood, but that they are safe to be who they are, have that emotional safety, that they have supportive relationships with adults, that they're treated fairly and respectfully, and that they are making a difference in their community, that they can make a difference on the lives of other youth, or they can be civically engaged. And we've been supporting organizations just this last few months. We started supporting organizations to implement programs that are all different. They have different goals, different ways of going, but that they are going to be achieving that safety, supportive relationships with adults and making a difference, so that they're fostering youth to matter rather than saying, hey, we have a bullying prevention program, we're trying to reduce bullying. We are saying we are supporting youth, and by doing that, they're not only going to reduce bullying, but a lot of the other challenging behaviors that we want to stop as well.
Seems like youth mattering is it just brings up to mind the word of empowerment, and mm-hmm. people who feel like they matter feel like they have more power, which makes them less likely to be targets. Okay. We are past the halfway point in our show, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break. You're listening to Line One, Your Health Connection on KSKA Anchorage. My guests today are Lindsay Hajduk from the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, Marcia Howell from the Alaska Injury Prevention Center, and freshman high school student Madison Dooley. Our topic today is the impact of bullying and what efforts are being taken to prevent bullying from happening in our community. If you have a question for our guests or an experience you'd like to share about today's topic, you can reach us in three ways. Our local number is 550-8433, or you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-8433. 5752. And the last way is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. After this short break, we'll return to our conversation about bullying. I'm Prentice Pemberton.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Line 1 on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Line 1, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just joining us, my guests today are Lindsay Hajduk from the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, Marsha Howell from the Alaska Injury Prevention Center, and freshman high school student Madison Dooley. Our topic today is the impacts of bullying and what efforts are being taken to prevent bullying from happening in our community. If you have a question for our guests or an experience you would like to share about today's topic, you can reach us as always in three ways. Our local number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or you can reach us toll free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way is to email your question to line1@alaskapublic.org. Please remember the show repeats tonight at 8. So if you're listening to this on Monday evening, you'll be hearing a taped recording and we will not be accepting phone calls. Okay, I want to ask Madison, what is it that really kind of triggered you to get involved with this? Because this is not something that a lot of kids or young people, I won't call you kid, but a lot of young people are, they're not standing up for it and speaking out. And I think it's young people like you that are really have the most impact on this sort of stuff. I mean, all the adults can do the just say no and just ignore it stuff. But I think it's the youth that really, really have the power to change this. And so what is it that, I don't know, motivated you to get involved in all this?
Well, I'm a member of Anchorage Youth Vote, and we started working on our project earlier this year. And we were going over statistics so we could really figure out what bullying is and what we can do to prevent it and spread awareness. And I didn't realize how many people were being bullied. I read a thing that said in 2015, 1 in 10 high school students reported being bullied. There are thousands of teenagers in the public school system. That's hundreds and hundreds of teenagers that are being bullied every day. And the consequences are tremendously huge.
Yeah, but what made you decide initially to get involved? What was it that, I mean, what do you have inside you that made you say, I've got to do something?
I feel like I have a lot of respect for everyone that I'm around, even if I disagree with them, and I want everyone to have that same level of respect. You can disagree with someone on everything, politics, anything, and still love them and respect who they are and be around them.
All right, so it's really about having empathy and compassion for other people and wanting everybody to experience that as well.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you doing it. As I said, it's the more young people like you that we can have involved in this, it sure does help us out, because otherwise we're just flailing around like a bunch of adults that pretend that we know what we're doing. Okay, let's. We're going to go back to the phone since we're generating a lot of phone calls. We'll go ahead. Carol, you're on the line. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. And I love this show. I love the subject matter. And it's long overdue. I've taught all around the world. And when I came back from my last job in India, I decided to write a proposal called Human Environmental Integration. And it deals with everything you guys are talking about. And I requested school districts around the United States to implement this program. And its subject goals were education, consequences, energy, and empowerment. And this kind of stuff needs to take place long before they become adolescents. And I was turned down every step of the way. They said, we've got math, we've got history, we don't need this.
All right. You're talking about citizenship and relationship training that another caller mentioned. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for that, Carol. And I think maybe you were a little bit ahead of your time, possibly. What's exciting, in December, this past December 2016, the United Nations drafted a resolution which is to eliminate all forms of violence against children by 2030, which bullying is along the spectrum of violence. So what has often been thought of as just a normal rite of passage is really getting worldwide responses. And some of the things that they talk about that need to happen are teaching empathy, although that's not available for everybody. Not everybody can experience it based on their own issues. But teaching empathy is one thing. Nonviolent parenting is another. And it's really wonderful also, I'll say, to have Madison here, because including youth is one of the most important things that they're recognizing. Adults can't just fix this. It requires youth voice to help adults together come up with efforts. And then also, it has to be a school and community-wide environment. So I hope, Carol, that your efforts will find their way into somewhere, because it really takes all of us in and out of schools.
Yeah, as a community, these types of conversations are important. And yes, Carol, it sounds like you were a little bit ahead of things, but that's how all this starts, is with people bringing up the issues and starting to raise awareness. The civil rights movement didn't happen, with Martin Luther King. It started before him, and it started with independent people, individuals speaking up and saying this isn't okay. So these movements start small, and they gain energy, and they get bigger. So I appreciate you, Carol. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. I have another phone call, but first I want to read an email from Pam. It says, I've heard people say that bullies lack self-confidence, but when I look back at the bullies that I have known or known about, they always seem overconfident. They were very clever at finding times and places where they believed they had a good chance of getting away with whatever it was they wanted to do. It seems to me it's the victims or the targets, she used the word victims, that sometimes lack confidence. And when the victims find the confidence to stand up to a bully, they can often disarm the bully. So that goes into how kids, young people can respond to bullies. So let's go into that question. What is it that that kids, speaking of overconfidence, I do think we're talking about a false sense of confidence. Often bullies are insecure and feel small themselves. And I always tell kids I work with, it's their way to try to make you feel as small as they do, mm-hmm. On the inside. And I've noticed that the most real confident people don't need to make other people feel small. Mm-hmm. So, Lindsay?
Yeah, some of the research around who exhibits bullying behavior finds that it may be people with anxiety, or they lack self-confidence, or are looking for ways to be loved. But just like this this email suggests, it could be someone who is just as popular among their peers or teachers. And for those kinds of incidents, it's important to recognize that that person may be exhibiting that behavior because of the audience and the others around. So we're again talking at witnesses or bystanders, and again gets at why it's so important to talk to your children, or talk amongst each other about how important intervening is. It's standing up for that person. And it could be something as simple as, hey, that's not cool, that isn't funny. And that person won't have that audience anymore. They won't be getting their power from their peers in that way. So it is recognizing that sometimes it is those individuals who have a better sense of their own social emotional skills, and that others may not, so that they become the ones who perpetrate that behavior.
All right, let's go back to the phones, because Caroline's been waiting for a while. So go ahead, Caroline.
Yes, good afternoon. I have one quick question, and then I was going to make a comment. The question has to do with whether or not bullying is something I read or heard years ago, that it's not an issue in Europe, in many of the countries there. But my comment has to do with parents in Alaska can pay up to $10,000, I think is the limit, if their child is involved with something that destroys property. And I was thinking, well, maybe parents would pay more attention if they could be assessed a fee in order to help compensate the state for the cost of the damage that's done by their child if their child is a bully and it can be established through law. So that's all I had.
That's an interesting idea, and one of the legal pieces in the civil world, more in the adult, but the negligent infliction of emotional distress would be that kind of an issue where you, or intentional infliction, where you intend to harm somebody and cause them stress. That's an interesting concept. As far as in Europe, there's a lot of research going on around the world, and the first international bullying research conference just happened in Stockholm this spring. One of the things, kind of also following on the political rant that I learned there, was that in a Northern European country, teachers were reporting that girls were complaining that they had been trumped. And what they meant was that they had been touched inappropriately, and they're using this as a verb. So, yeah, it is happening around the world.
Okay. Sorry for my chuckle, but that's... You're turning it into a verb. All right. Thank you for the call, Caroline. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay. I do have another email here. I want to read it. It's not really a question. It says, I am so pleased to hear a young person being included in this topic. Thank you for your participation. So there's a shout out.
Thank you.
Some institutions are structured in such a way as to attract bullies. I am speaking of the banking institution. The structure is one of officers of the bank are considered elite and treated as such. In most instances, this is well warranted and makes sense. However, bullying behavior is tolerated in some instances to the degree of making a person feel less than human. Needless bullying regarding dress, hairstyle, weight, color, religion, and politics can easily be hidden by the fact that officers of the bank hold the upper hand always, and their word is the last word. I've had many kinds of jobs and worked at many banking institutions. However, I found this to be true at one specific bank in Anchorage in particular. So specifically, chatter among officers in the bank amongst each other within earshot of administrative staff, which is totally uncalled for. The whole point is that the impact of bullying carries into adulthood, and we cannot begin early enough to encourage our children to be kind to and accepting of one another. Attitude is born of what children hear and see in their parents and other adults. That is, I talk a lot about modeling, and if we're talking about how do you, I'm going to just go ahead and ask the question, how do we raise children who are not going to become bullies? And I, you know, I've talked to my own kids, like I can tolerate a lot of stuff, but if I get word back that they're bullying somebody, I'm going to come unglued. Like that is just not okay with me. So I'm going to ask Madison, how, since, you know, we'll go back to this, how did your parents raise you to be so aware and in tune and care about other people in that way? Or is it just dumb luck?
No, my parents are wonderful, and they have been very expressive of showing empathy towards others, and it's okay that they're different than you, it's okay they look different than you, it's okay they act different than you. Love them, respect them, they're people. And I think that that's really not taught by a lot of other parents, and it really needs to be. It's so important to respect people even if you disagree with them.
Okay, that's well said. Yeah, so about tolerance and acceptance and understanding that other people's feelings matter, and that we don't know what it's like to be somebody else and until we walk in their shoes. And I always tell my kids, you are so fortunate, and you know, you don't know how other people are, what their home life is like, or what kind of things they're dealing with in their lives. And I tell my kids, you'll never get in trouble for standing up to a bully who's picking on somebody else. You won't. You will I will respond with ice cream and favors. You know, it's like I really want to promote that acceptance and tolerance. Madison, go ahead.
I read a study that said children who see other children standing up to bullies are more likely to stand up for themselves and for others. It's kind of just reassurance that you can do this and you're capable of helping other people.
Yeah, the importance of young people getting involved cannot be overstated. I can't say it enough, because you think about smoking. For years we talked about, you know, we were lecturing the children about don't smoke, it's bad for you, it's bad for you. And until the kids started to say, that's gross, that's not cool, then it really changed. And we've seen a reduction in teenage smoking. And I think primarily because kids started to say, oh, yuck, that's, you know, that stinks, that's gross. I would never go out with somebody who smokes. That's when really the power to change came in. Our peers, I mean, all the research indicates that peers are the most influential people in teenagers' lives. Parents become less important at about 12, as Madison is probably experiencing right now. Sorry. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I was just going to add that it's important to also recognize anytime you see bullying happening, or if you're a parent or a caregiver, you have to address it every time. If there's kind of a passive or neutral reaction, it's just interpreted as support. So it supports the bullying behavior itself. And even with adults, we find in different studies and research that bystanders who intervene do make an impact on the situation, but adults intervene just about 20% of the time in this certain study. They intervened less as they got older as well. And the reason folks said was because they didn't feel they were trained. They didn't know how to intervene. So there are programs here in Anchorage that our coalition or organizations are supporting. The Green Dot is one of those programs, Green Dot Anchorage. And it's all about teaching how to intervene when you're seeing interpersonal violence happen. And you could do something direct. You can delegate, you know, maybe call 911 or find some other one to support. Or you can distract and just diffuse the situation. So some of the work, the Healthy Voices, Healthy Choices Coalition, and a lot of the other organizations in Anchorage are doing are really to support adults to be able to intervene so that we can diffuse the situations, reduce the situations, and not let anything pass and be taken as support.
All right. We have another phone call. Jill, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have three teenagers, and I find even like in the house, like I try not to allow teasing to go too far, but often the one that's doing the teasing and it starts to go to the line, you always hear, or the comment I hear is, I was just joking. And so I think it's frustrating as a parent too, because you don't want to overuse the word bullying when it's not happening. So I guess my question is, like, how is it that we really educate our kids to know the difference
between teasing and bullying? Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I think the consensus here was that that teasing is more back and forth, and, you know, both people are sort of participating in it, and there's not a power differential. The big thing about bullying is that it is one person using power to make another person feel small or to hurt them and do harm in some way. Marcia, you're agreeing with that?
Yeah, and I think just the fact that you're asking the question shows that you're paying attention and thinking about it. That's really valuable. Some of the things within the home that are really helpful that in recent studies are showing parents who are warm and responsive, where there's a high level of high quality of communication. So just even having that conversation with your teens is valuable. A couple other things, parents not being overly authoritative and also not being overly protective. Those are things that being authoritative and being overprotective are important to avoid. And then especially that we learn to communicate from the very beginning from what we see in our homes. So having a highly functioning, healthy family is important, and that's our responsibility as the adults.
Much of the time I see the kids who are in my office for targeting other children are a lot of times I will find that their parents or their, you know, I don't want to single out dads, but a lot of times it is that macho kind of approach to parenting, like, oh yeah, don't let take any, you know, mess from anybody. And, you know, they use derogatory comments about women and other kids and language that is just unacceptable. And that becomes sort of the norm. So how we speak in our homes to our children and how we talk about other people is really, really important. And I don't think it can be overstated. Okay. Yeah, we are really getting down to the wire, and we're not going to be able to get to all the emails or all the callers. But I do want to just take a moment to ask, like, what is how can kids handle bullying? What should they do? What should we tell our kids if they're getting bullied? How do we help them address this problem as parents? Lindsay?
Well, one thing I would say is it's important to, again, just reiterate, bullying doesn't have to happen. It's not a normal part of growing up. And our focus with the Anchor Youth Development Coalition is to make sure that youth have an adult that they can go to. The adult may not be their parent, but they have a trusted adult that they can tell and find that help, that they don't have to solve it on their own, that there are ways that they can get the situation resolved, and that they have trust and are supported throughout it.
Okay. Madison, would you like to just give us a final word on what you'd like people to remember about bullying and its impacts?
Yeah, we just need to teach our children to be respectful of other people so that we can prevent this. And just be a decent human being, please.
That's the best advice ever. Be nice.
Rule number one.
Yeah, that's good. Marcia, take home point.
I think we all want to belong and we all want to feel connected. And some people don't have good skills at doing that, and they end up picking on people, bullying people in order to feel that. But those are human needs, and we just need to find healthy ways by being nice to each other so that we feel it.
My favorite bumper sticker is "Mean people suck." That is my favorite bumper sticker. So, yes, the advice of Madison, just be kind, be nice. All right. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate all of you for coming on and putting the energy and sharing your wisdom. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. I enjoyed this conversation very much. I think it's an important one to have, and I think we'll probably need to do it again in the near future. Please check the variety of links and information we've made available about today's topic on our show page. Just go to alaskapublic.org and find the link for Line One. Today's conversation and all of our past Line One programs can be found in our archives at alaskapublic.org. You'll find that link under the radio tab at alaskapublic.org. If you would like to continue today's conversation, please join KSKA on Facebook. You can find that link also on our website, alaskapublic.org. Well, my guest for last week has fallen through, so I will be hosting a caller-driven show next week. Please tune in and call or email your questions on any mental health topic during next week's program. It will be your chance to ask anything related to mental health or emotional wellness. Kids, marriage, divorce, depression, nothing's off limits. Eric Bork handled the web editing for today's program, and Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. For all of us at Line One, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Until next time, I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.